And I get to be kind of like your wilderness guide, if you will, in setting this up with some meditations through this Lenten season on Wednesdays as Rev John preaches every weekend and getting ready to take a team to Israel. That's going to be pretty rough, isn't it? Yeah. But I get to be your wilderness guide, if you will. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover some themes. And this evening, we're going to think about the supply of bread. If you remember last week, we met our famous sheep. Kids, do you remember the sheep's name? Shrek. There we go. We met Shrek the sheep, who got the haircut of a lifetime, shedding 60 pounds of wool while he was rescued from his frolicking in the wilderness. And we kind of chased that metaphor down and thought about this season as an opportunity to return to our good shepherd, allow him to groom us and restore the parts of us that need restored and lead us in our own nourishment. One writer I was reading in preparation for this Lenten season referred to the wilderness of Lent as a sacred rendezvous. I like that. Because so often we think of wilderness, rightfully so, as a bleak and barren place, and there's this paradox of death and life that are happening there. We often don't think of it as this wonderful place to hang out and thrive, but in the storyline of the people of God, the wilderness does provide a place of sacred rendezvous with their Creator, and they're defining moments for the people of God. And so that is our hope as we journey into this time. And so tonight, I want to prepare us for a time of prayer, just to, so you know where we're going. I'm going to lead us through some prayer exercises so you can start to get nervous now. Nervous laughter. There you go. Okay. And I promise you will be stretched a little bit, but not too much. I'm not going to break you, okay? But to prepare us for that, I want to lead us to Jesus' own wilderness experience. His own wilderness experience in Matthew chapter 4. If you have a Bible and you want to open it, you can. There's four short verses. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4, and it nearly mirrors Luke chapter 4, 1 through 4. And this is what we read as we follow Jesus into the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just think about this interesting episode in the scriptures. There's so much to think about and ponder. Much has been written and spoken about these short verses in the course of church history. But for tonight's purpose, I'm going to zero in on one simple phrase. And it's one that jumped off the pages at me as I was thinking through this and comes from verse 2. He was hungry. He being Jesus. Jesus, after 40 days and 40 nights being in the wilderness, fasting. That's a long time. I mean, can you even imagine? Anybody here done a 40-day fast? Nope. Okay. I've known, I think, one person in my life who's done a 40-day fast. I was thinking back to my own fasting experiences because I don't know what kind of tradition you've come from, but in my college campus ministries of all times in life, college, we were exploring the discipline, the spiritual discipline of fasting. And that became a regular part of our weekly life. I remember there was one segment of the season in which it was like once a week, one day a week, fasting. It wasn't uncommon for us to do like a 3-day fast. And I remember how powerful those times with the Lord were in fasting. Now I think about my life and how rarely I will do that. And I think to myself, Nate, you're getting older and softer. And I start to ask myself, why not? But Jesus gives us this model that he's in the wilderness and he's fasting. And in fact, fasting has been a part of the Lenten tradition. It's one of the pillars of ancient fasts, or ancient celebrations of Lent, is fasting being one of the pillars. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, generosity. And so Jesus here modeling this is hungry, obviously. He was hungry, but what about you and me? I think that we all get hungry physically, of course, but I think there's a deeper hunger that we all have the opportunity to face and think about in this Lenten season. As I hear these words from Matthew, he was hungry, I can't help but think about this question. What are you hungry for? Nate, what are you hungry for? Put your name in the blank. What are you hungry for? Not talking about food here. So for the kids, for a moment, we're going to shift from the concrete to the metaphor. We're not talking about physical food, per se. But the deeper things of the soul that we all will hunger for. Think about it. We hunger for love. We hunger for acceptance, for validation, for approval. We hunger for the feeling of being needed, of having purpose. We hunger for honor, newness. We hunger for healing. We hunger for peace and renewal and ultimately this shalom, right? We hunger to be led out of wilderness spaces into places of flourishing, abundant life. Our hungers that are deep within us, some of them become twisted. Some are pretty normal and God-given. And this season of fasting, of this willing self-denial, self-deprivation, allows us to posture ourselves before God so that he can help us discern the motives of our hearts. You think about this self-denial of food. If you would go that route, you ever been hangry before? And there's a reason, there's a term. You're hungry and you're angry. Who here has been hangry? There we go. Okay. We're not fasting, but we get hangry. Doesn't take long, does it? When I get hangry, I lose my self-control. It goes real fast. I start snapping at people. I'm bitey. I have a tone of voice with my children that I don't want to have. And maybe you can relate to some of the hangry feelings. And it's in those moments when we're denying ourselves and our flesh that the pressure of that denial begins to expose the cracks in our own character. It begins to reveal the sinful nature that is so present with each one of us. And in that moment, we have the opportunity to turn to the Lord. And so when we hear the words, he was hungry, and we think about our own hunger, soul hunger, and we walk through this season, hopefully with some choices of fasting, we can allow God to reveal so that we can be honest with him and we can acknowledge these things before him. This year, I've gone a little bit easier, you will, but just kind of a different route. I don't know, some of you responded to our Instagram stories about what you're fasting, and so there's a lot of you drinking a lot of water over the course of these 40 days. Bye-bye sodas and coffees and hello water. One person said, I'm fasting from yelling. I like that. I am fasting from 8 p.m. on. I have this no snacking fast, and that's, I say snacking because it's not just physical food, but it's also the mental snacking that I do. When I pull open my device and I scroll through social media, watch a few random YouTube videos, whatever that looks like, the Lord was beginning to impress on me, there's much better, more productive ways you can draw near to me or seek your peace and your satisfaction than going to those routes. So as we ask ourselves, what are you hungry for? Also ask, where do we turn to satisfy that hunger? What are the places? Who are the people? What are the situations and circumstances to which we turn to satiate and satisfy that hunger? Are you Netflix binging? Are you going on shopping sprees? Are you hitting the snack cabinet? Are you compulsively checking social media? These are all things that the Lord may be inviting us to say, come to me to find your rest. And so as we acknowledge those hungers, as we allow the Lord to shine the spotlight into our own wilderness moments, we have the privilege of confessing our weakness and saying, Lord, I need you. I see the idols of my heart, and I need your grace. Here are the words of Jesus as the tempter came to him in this moment of vulnerability and weakness, which isn't that the way it works? That he knows how to get us when we're feeling weak. And Jesus responds to this temptation thrown at him to shortcut the purposes of God and to use his power for his own selfish ends. He could turn stones into bread like that by speaking. But he responds by saying, the Lord is my sustenance. The Father will supply. And he says, man shall not live on bread alone, quoting from Deuteronomy, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the invitation we have to receive grace upon grace. But the words of Christ reminds us that our feasting is even available in the wilderness because we feast on the Lord's words that continually pour forth, his words that bring life. And so tonight, we want to ask ourselves, what are we hungry for? But also, as a church, ask, what is St. John's as a church hungry for? What are we collectively hungering for? Tonight, I want to lead us in some prayer, some congregational prayer. And kids, you can be ready to participate with us as well. And so, moms and dads, I just want to invite you to whisper to your children in these moments. I'm going to guide us through a pretty simple, basic exercise. But parents, don't worry about whispering. This is okay time to do that. Dialogue with your kids as they're like, what's going on? This is the time that you get to teach, okay? And so we're just going to follow a really simple acronym, L-E-N-T, for Lent. Pretty easy to remember, okay? And so there's going to be individual and silent to begin with. And I'm just going to lead us through some minute-long prompts. And so here's what we want to do. L, we want to listen. And just quiet our hearts and still our hearts. Maybe contemplate these words that we heard from the scriptures and posture ourselves in a place of receiving from the Lord. Then E, we're going to echo. So if you have a Bible, open up to Psalm 63. And just by way of practice, you're going to see a psalm that has wilderness implications. And in a moment, I'm going to lead you through echoing back to the Lord his own self-revealed character. This is learning to pray the scripture, essentially. Identifying who God has revealed himself to be, and you just echoing back the praise. Lord, I see that your love is better than life. I praise you for being that great. Okay? We're going to listen. We're going to echo. Then N, we're going to need. Because we're wilderness wanderers and we need the sustenance of the Lord. And so we're going to voice our needs to him. And then T, we're going to close that with thanksgiving. That's going to be the individual part. And then I'm going to shift us into a communal prayer exercise. Let's start with the L-E-N-T. Follow my lead as we go. Lord, we come before you tonight thankful that there is hope in wilderness spaces. That there is hope, though our flesh may hurt, though our flesh may yearn for things and long and hunger, we thank you that you supply our spiritual need. You meet us in supernatural ways. And so we pray that you would help us pray. Teach us how to pray in these moments. And so help us posture ourselves now as we listen to your Spirit. simply ask the Lord, Lord, what are you speaking to me tonight from what we've heard from your word? Now, having postured your hearts and your ears in a place of listening, let's echo, just in the quietness of our own hearts and minds, echo back to the Lord the praise of who he is as you see in Psalm 63. Parents, help your kids see, and if you need to help them read a verse or a phrase. Help them understand what we're doing right now. Feel the freedom to whisper. Let us echo. And now, having begun to echo back the praises to the Lord and adoring him for who he is, let us knead. As the psalmist says, earnestly, I seek you. So begin with your own personal need and lay that out before the Lord in this time. And then begin to shift in the need from your own personal need to the needs that the Lord would impress upon your heart for our church. To think collectively and again, be inspired by the words from the psalmist. Maybe you sense that the Lord would call us to need him like the psalmist desperately cried out for his presence. That we would need that spirit stirring within us to seek him with passion and fervency. But begin to pray the need over our entire church. Lastly, as we think of the tea, take a few moments to thank the Lord for the hope of his promises, of the goodness of his mercies and his grace, and the sureness of his faithfulness to fulfill every word that he speaks over us and in us. Thank him for who he is and what he is doing. Again, parents, I encourage you to engage with your children. Allow them to offer up thanks as well in the whispers, in the simplicity. Lord, we give you thanks for your word that sustains us, your word that even teaches us how to pray. We thank you that you are God, that we can say that you are my God, you are our God, because you are relational. We thank you that as we earnestly seek you, you promise that you will reveal yourself to us. As we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us, that we can seek and we can find. And we thank you that as our souls thirst, we can drink of the living water. We thank you for your supply, even in the wilderness. And now as we continue our prayer, notice I didn't say amen on purpose. We're going to continue in our prayer. This one's going to stretch us a little bit. My wife's going to help us. But this should be kind of fun, okay? So does anybody here think that prayer can be fun? Oh, man, okay. Prayer can be fun, okay? So it doesn't have to be like somber and like death. Prayer is actually a beautiful gift. And this hopefully can turn a little bit of the fun corner for you, or the creative corner. But Lauren, my wife, is going, and Megs, her assistant, are going to, they hand out a little Lenten prayer exercise. And so before you read, so if you're receiving the paper, resist the urge to read, because I'm going to explain it. This is going to be participatory. And so we're warming you up to corporate prayer, but we're not going to make you pray out loud. What a gift this is to you, right? And so here's what you're going to do. You're going to focus your prayer on the collective, St. John's as a whole, vision, health, and the future of our church. We want you to seek the Lord and his vision with us. Now, the first person who's receiving this piece of paper, you're going to begin writing a prayer. So locate a pen in your pew, okay? You're going to begin writing a prayer. And you may have played a game like this where you build a story. And you pass the paper and everybody fills in and builds a story. We're going to do a prayer pass and we're going to build a prayer. And so I'm going to limit your time to a few seconds, 30 seconds, up to my discretion. And then I'll say pass. And wherever you're at in the middle of your written prayer, you just stop writing and you pass it to your neighbor. Okay, and so we're going to keep them moving, and you have more than one opportunity to do this, okay? So if you get the paper the second time, go ahead and build on the prayer that's there. All right, and so one per row, okay. We're going to be flexible. It's like a missions trip, flexibility. We said we're going to try this, and it may flop and it may not. So here we go. Okay, so is everybody clear? The person who has the paper, you're going to begin writing until I say pass, and then you prayer pass it. While you are waiting, not writing, we want you to pray silently. Just go ahead and pray for the vision and the future of this church and the people in this community. Think outside these walls and these doors, okay? And so you just continue building on the prayer. You can put periods and end sentences where you need to and begin new ones. Have fun with this. Kids, moms and dads, help your kids. Let them dictate to you what they want to pray, all right? There's no wrong answer here. Well, maybe. But if you're praying things against Scripture, we'll just exit out, okay? So keep going until I bring this to a close after just a couple minutes, okay? So, Lord, hear our prayers as we write them. Fill our imagination, fill our vocabulary even with words from your Spirit. Bring to our minds even scriptures that we've learned and heard that we might be praying biblically according to your heart. So guide us now in Christ's name. Let us pray.